All right, folks, let me jump right in here because I got a long way to go, and I want to talk to you today about being more weird in a really bizarre world. You know, Jesus calls us to be different, right? Jesus calls us to be peculiar people, the Bible says. It was interesting this morning when some of the staff got together and prayed at 8 o'clock. One of the preschool teachers, I wouldn't dare tell you her name, but her initials was Christine Garwood. Christine said to me, "So, Pastor John, I've got that part down pat." Okay? So that's what I meant when I told you to look at somebody and say, "You're a weirdo," right? Did everybody find a weirdo? I'm sure that you did, and I'm sure many people found you. You know, this week I did something really interesting, very challenging, and very enlightening. I typed into a search engine, you know, Google or Bing or Yahoo or something. I typed into a search engine, "This bizarre world." Oh my goodness. These are just a few of the pictures that came up associated with that, along with lots of other information. We do live in a very bizarre world, don't we? I mean, if you've traveled, if you've been around, you know, I remember the time that I sat at LAX waiting on an airplane that was late, and I was there for several hours, and it was like just this sea of humanity just kept walking by. You ever been to Times Square in New York? Oh my goodness, you don't need to go to a Broadway show. Just sit on the curb and watch. And you will be entertained for hours and hours and hours. We live in a very bizarre world. And here's the thing. God wants us to be weird. He wants us to be different. But maybe in a kind of way that we're all not very familiar with. Let me introduce it to you this way. What did you want to be when you grew up? You know, you ask a child that, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" What are some of the answers you get? Well, I know my grandson Jack. He wanted to be a fireman. He's wanted to be a policeman. He's wanted to be an FBI agent. There's a time that he wanted to drive a garbage truck. I asked him why. He said, "Because they get dirty." You know, and I assume from that their mom doesn't get on to them when they get dirty. So that was an aspiration. I actually heard a guy say one time that he was so proud of his son because he overheard his son talking to another adult, and the adult said, "Son, what do you want to be? Or young man, what do you want to be when you grow up?" And the little boy said, "I want to be a doctor." And the father who overheard it, he said, "Man, I was just so proud. That was just the best news I'd ever heard." And then the little boy said, "Or a dinosaur." You know, we get all kinds of varied answers when we ask that question. I know when I was a kid, everybody wanted to be an astronaut. You know why? I was born in 1961, January 1961. You know, right during the moon launch and the walking on the moon. You know, I was raised, I was a young child, a young boy, and everybody wanted to be an astronaut. We wanted to walk on the moon. Now today, you know, everybody wants to be a professional baseball player or a football player or something like that. All kinds of varied answers. But here's the thing, folks. What if you asked Jesus that question? Not Jesus, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" Because we all know what Jesus came to be. The sacrifice. He said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. But to ask Jesus, "What do you want me to be when I grow up?" It's amazing because when you ask a child that, you might get a million different answers. You ask Jesus that, and He's going to give every person the exact same answer. And that answer is what I want to talk to you about today. Jerry White wrote a book about servanthood. And in that book, he said this. He said, "Christians are to be servants of both God and people. But most of us approach business and work and life in general with the attitude, 'What can I get?' rather than 'What can I give?'" Let me read you an extended quote from that same book. In that, he said, "We find it encouraging to think of ourselves as God's servants. Who would not want to be the servant of a king? But when it comes to serving other people, we begin to question the consequences. We feel noble when serving God. We feel humble when serving people. He says serving God receives a favorable response. Serving people, especially those who cannot repay, has no visible benefit or glory from anyone except from God. Christ gave us the example. Matthew 20:28. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. To be a servant of God, we must be a servant of people. To be a servant of God, we must be a servant of people. You see, folks, we have to answer that question every day. Do we go into this life saying, what can I get? Or do we get up every day asking ourselves the question of what can I give? Now listen, folks, let's in a real way answer that question. Because it's really easy to go into life, to live every day thinking about what I can get. What is the benefit for me? How can this help me? What do I get from this? What I deserve from this? What I ought to have from this? What you need to do for me? What can I get? What can I get? What can I get? Listen, by and large, people and many of us, this is the way we look at the world. But we're never more blessed when we live than when we live a life of servitude. Let me tell you what this looks like. About 10 years ago, I had a friend of mine, Gary Reed. He comes here. I don't see him here today, but Gary Reed called me and he said, Pastor John, he said, I have 2 tickets to the Masters golf tournament. Would you like to go? I said, well, let me pray about that. Yes, absolutely. Shortest prayer I've ever said in my life. Now, I went on and asked him, I said, Gary, you have sons, you have family. I know you have great friends. But he said, Pastor John, he said, listen, I know how much you love golf. And the Masters tickets are one of the hardest tickets to get in all of sports. And he said, I'd like for you to go with me. I went to the Masters. A couple years after that, I was in the office and a card was placed on my desk and my name on it. I opened it up and it was a thank you card from someone here in the church. And in the card was 2 tickets to the U.S. Open golf tournament in Oakmont. The card simply said, Pastor John, I know that you would enjoy using these. They're yours. At that very same time, the Altoona Missionary Alliance Church had just burned down. Tim McGarvey, the pastor, there's a good friend of mine. I called him. I said, Tim, I said, are you free on Saturday? And he said, sure. And I said, well, you're going somewhere with me. He said, I'll tell you about it later, but just plan to be gone the whole day. He said, okay. And I went and picked him up. We started towards Pittsburgh. He said, where are we going? I said, we're going to the U.S. Open. I got to go to the U.S. Open simply because somebody gave me 2 tickets. And then I got to bless a friend with one of those. Now, I told Arlene, honey, you can't go. I'm taking Tim. You have to stay home. You know, but she got over that. You know. 3 years ago, I got a phone call from Rich Ward. You know Rich? Rich attends our first service here. He said, John, I have some tickets to the PGA Championship in Baltusrol, New Jersey. I want you to go with me. So we went to 2 days of that tournament, all because of a friend. Last year, you guys were so gracious to me, and for our anniversary here, of course, we went and spent some time in Europe and visited Kristen, but part of that trip was that I got tickets to the British Open from you guys as a gift. Listen, folks, as a golfer, you know, I've been to the Masters, I've been to the U.S. Open, I've been to the PGA Championship, I've been to the Open Championship, the British Open Championship in Europe. All because of the generosity and the spirit of giving in the lives of other people. Listen, folks, every day we get up and we ask ourselves, or we answer this question by the way that we live. Which one describes you? Because Jesus teaches us that we need to go into this life by serving Him. Let me show you something in the Bible where it's really interesting. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 through 44. When you look at this passage of Scripture, you will see it over and over and over again where the Scriptures say, "You have heard." You have heard that it was said. And then Jesus says, "But I say unto you." In other words, this is what everybody tells you and really what the Old Testament, what the leaders of the law were telling you. This is the way that you should live. But Jesus says, "I'm changing all that. I'm telling you something else, something different." The world and the religious world even says that this is the way that you should live. But Jesus says, "I'm telling you something else." And when you look at this passage of Scripture, and I actually have it here, I hope you have a Bible that you can look at it because it's so interesting. He says in verse 17, he says, "I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose." And then over and over and over again, verse 21, "You've heard that our ancestors were told, 'You must not murder.' But I say to you, if you have hatred in your heart for your brother, you're guilty of murder." And he does this five different times about different subjects in the life of a believer. About marriage, about adultery, about vows. Jesus tells us here that he has a different way that he wants us to live. And the thing is do we live differently? Do we go into the day, every day, into the world, asking, "How can I serve?" rather than, "What can I get?" Because they are two different things that lead to two different places. Here, let me show it to you, because Jesus, in this same passage, before he gives us this list of "you heard that it was said, but I say unto you," before he even gets into that, he has what's called the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, which this is part of the Sermon on the Mount too. But in verses 1 through 12, Jesus says something that's really, really interesting. We refer to it as the Beatitudes. Listen to what the Bible says here. It's so beautiful. He says, "One day as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him and he began to teach them." You know, just think about that for a minute. You know, this Sermon on the Mount with Jesus was kind of a spontaneous interaction with the disciples. You see, here's the thing. When we get close to Jesus, we're going to hear some really important things. When we sit down in front of the teacher like Jesus, we're going to be taught. And we need to pay attention in class. Because if we don't pay attention to the teacher, you never know what situation you're going to be in. When I was in seminary, I had a best friend, Kurt Parker. He actually still preaches down in Florida. And I came into class one morning at 7 o'clock to a history class. I was really tired, and I was kind of dozing off. The class hadn't even started. And the professor, when he got time to start class, I was still just kind of out of it. And he said to this girl in class, he said, "Judy, would you please open with a word of prayer?" Well, my buddy Kurt thought it would be really, really interesting. He poked me and he said, "John, he told you to pray." So I jumped to my feet. And I prayed one of the most eloquent prayers I think I'd ever prayed in my entire life. And I said, "In Jesus' name, amen." And Dr. Fife looked at me and he said, "Thank you, Judy. That was a very nice prayer." And I said, "Parker, I will kill you." Listen, if you're not paying attention, man, you don't know what road you'll end up going down. There'll be times of embarrassment. There'll be times when you will be so disobedient that you'll be unbelievable. It'll be unbelievable what you're capable of doing. And the evil even that we're capable of perpetrating in the lives of other people. If we go through life simply saying, "What can I get? What can I achieve? What can bless me out of this?" rather than, "What can I serve?" Listen to what the Beatitude says. He said, "God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for Him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs." God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things about you because you're my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. But let me draw out just a few inferences from this entire passage that we know of as the Beatitudes. You know, the first thing that when I read this, he seems to be giving us the character traits that identify a true servant. I mean, when you read down through the Beatitudes and you read that God blesses those, God blesses those, God blesses those, God blesses those, when you go through and read all of those 8 different categories and characteristics of that blessed person, ask yourself, does that describe you? I mean, is that me? Is that you? Do I have a poor spirit? And do I realize my need for Him? Am I a person that can easily mourn and therefore find comfort? Am I humble? Do I thirst and hunger for His righteousness? Am I merciful? Is my heart pure? Do I work for peace? And do I stand under persecution with the kind of attitude that Jesus wants me to have? You know what? That's a tough list to go through. But here, Jesus identifies a true servant. But here's the thing. When Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount to all of these disciples, to all those that are around him, who achieved this? It was only Jesus. It was only Jesus. But when you are close to Jesus, when Jesus is your teacher, when Jesus is your example, then you can learn some pretty amazing things. These are the character traits that identify a true servant. But you know what? These also are the traits that open the door to true happiness. He said, you know, the old version, the old King James Version said, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are. You know, this translation is the New Living Translation, which I really like today, that, you know, God blesses those. You know, if you read some other translations, either older or newer translations, you'll get a little bit different variation in that. But what's the common denominator? It's blessing. It's blessing. And those blessings open up the door to true happiness. My friend Gary said, Pastor John, I want to share this ticket with you. My anonymous friend that sent me the note said, I want to give you these tickets. My friend Rich said that, you know, I want to, and then all of you allowed me on that trip last year. Listen, folks, when we give, you know, to other people, you know, for example, not too long ago, I got a Facebook post from a young man named Dustin Dove. Does anybody remember that? Dustin was here several years ago with Team Effort. He lives in Texas. He's since got married, had 2 children. Dustin was he had cerebral palsy, and he walked really difficult. And he sent me a note, and he was trying to raise enough money to buy a special wheelchair in which he could play basketball in. You know, and I gave a donation online so that Dustin could do that, and it didn't take him long at all. He got a lot of friends that chipped in on that, and he got his wheelchair, and he sent me a picture. I have it on my refrigerator at home, of him playing basketball in that chair. It was such a blessing. And it just simply had a note to Pastor John Arlene, thank you for helping to make this possible. You see, when we have this kind of attitude about life, not the attitude of what can I get, but what I can give, it will open the door to true happiness. You know what I'm talking about. When you do something for someone else, doesn't it make you feel good? Doesn't it make your heart just swell up with thanksgiving? But the other way, when we go through life of what we can get, I mean, we feel miserable, we feel guilty, you know, we just feel all kinds of things that just erode away at our joy and our happiness. But you know what, folks, when we give, it's just an amazing thing in life. I remember after my kids both were gone and married, and we went out to eat one time with Sarah and Mark. It was the joy of my life when the bill came that my son-in-law said, you know, John, let me get this. Have at it, brother. You know what? I want you to feel the joy that I've had for years. You know, this is the same guy that was on vacation with us one time, and we were at a Chili's restaurant, and he and my other son-in-law ordered lemonade, not knowing that they charged them per glass. And I was treating them that night, and when we got the bill, we had $52 worth of lemonade on the bill. It's hard to be generous in times like that, isn't it? But true generosity, truly being a servant to others, it will open up true happiness in your life. And then the third thing, and I don't know if you've noticed this about the Beatitudes, but each Beatitude, all eight of them, come with a promise. Right? They come with a promise. It says God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for Him. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. In other words, if you want this promise to be true in your life, this is the way that we should live. God blesses those who mourn. What's the promise? They'll be comforted. God blesses those who are humble. What's the promise? They will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for Him. What's the promise? They will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful. What's the promise? They will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure. What's the promise? They will see God. God blesses those who work for peace. What's the promise? They will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right. What's the promise? For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Listen, folks, if we want the promises of God, we've got to ask God, God, what do you want me to be? And He wants us to be exactly what He was for us, and that was a sacrificial servant that He can use to love other people. A few weeks ago, we were praying on a Sunday morning, the pastors were. We were praying downtown at the Heritage Plaza. There's a big circle, about 25 or 30 of us there. And as we were praying, you know, I had my head bowed, and I noticed over to my right on the sidewalk downtown, there was a young lady started walking by us as we were praying. You know, and I'm looking at her, and I'm wondering who she was, where she was going that time of morning, 6:30, all that. And as she walked by us, one of the young ladies in our group, she's actually the co-pastor at the Vineyard Church, her and her husband, Derek and Jerry Lynn, Derek and Jerry Heilman. And Jerry saw her, and she left our circle. And I saw her walk over and stop in front of this young lady. And then all of a sudden, she was holding her hand. She had her hand on her shoulder. She was doing what everybody in that circle should have done. I asked her later, I said, what did you say to her? And she said, I just told her what we were doing and asked her what we could pray for in her life. And she told me a couple things. And she said, I just prayed with her and I invited her to come to our fellowship. That's what we need to be. That's a servant. That's the kind of person that Jesus is describing here. So my question is, are you that kind of person? Are we a servant to be used by God? You know, let me tell you one more quick little story that, man, just really, really shows me this. The greatest servant that I know in my life is my wife. My wife, Arlene, is the greatest example of a servant. When I was in Europe last year, I found this coffee drink that I loved. Costo was the name of the coffee place. And they made this thing called a flat white. Now, I've gotten it at different places here, but it's just not the same. And, man, I tell you what, I drank my weight in this stuff when I was over there. And then when I went back the second time, I thought, man, I need this at home. I even talked to the barista, you know, how she did it, and she gave me a few pointers. I came home, I got on Amazon, and I ordered me an espresso machine. Wasn't a real expensive one, but it would do what I wanted to do, and I got that thing. And they said, you know, to make this kind of drink, you need to grind the beans right when you do it, and you need to pack this thing in there. I don't know if you've ever done that, but you pack it in this thing, pack it down, and you put it up on there, and you know, you make the espresso, and you put just the right amount of espresso in a cup, and then you froth this milk, and you pour it into the espresso, and if you're really good at it, you can make a little design on top and everything, you know. And I bought that machine, and I did that, and after three or four times, I came to the conclusion, this is way too much work! So I went back to my other cup of coffee and just gave up on it. Well, that machine was sitting on my counter. And just one morning, Arlene brought me the espresso. And the next morning, I heard her grinding the beans, and she brought me the espresso. And really, what I stopped doing in my life, as a servant, she did for me almost every morning. That's the kind of person that God wants us to be. There's a lot of people out there that have stopped doing what God wants them to do because they need a real servant of God to model it for them in their life and to bring them close to Jesus so that He can make a difference in their life. You know, folks, when you look at Jesus, when He came into the room and He got down and He filled a basin full of water and He washed the disciples' feet, He did for them exactly what they should have done for Him. That's a servant. So I encourage you today to commit to God that, God, I want to be a servant. I want to be a servant like You were a servant. Make me a servant, Lord, to the people around me. The people in my home and my family, people in my church, the people in my community, to the people in the world. Because real servants change the world for better. Think of how the world would be different if everybody lived by the golden rule. Do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. May that describe your life and my life as we serve Him. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, Lord, right now as we sing and praise You, Lord, I just pray that our heart would well up with a desire to be a servant. Not to look at the world and what, Lord, we can get out of it, but the differences that You can make because we have a servant's attitude, that, Lord, we live out these Beatitudes and that we experience these promises because of these characteristics in our life. Lord, may it be so. In Jesus' holy name we pray.